Take it back. It's hour number three of the program. We've reclaimed this song for Tennessee football.
We don't play this week.
No, I know, but just in general. Alabama's on the road, so they won't be playing it either.
Take that.
It'll be all cowbells in their ears. I will be fascinated if Tua either doesn't play or has to leave the game. I just think Bob Shoop will mess it up, though. I don't know.
What do you mean mess it up? Talking about the game or Tua?
I think Alabama will be able to just run the football against Bob Shoop and win. So that'll be disappointing.
Yeah, if I'm Alabama, I'll probably not trot Tua out there.
No, they'll play him. He'll be fine. Game time decision officially. But anyway, before we get into all the college football this weekend. Yeah, Penny Hardaway's a cheater. Like,
yeah.
Somebody tried to have the take that he's like, it was so generous of Penny Hardaway to help a family. He was buying an AAU player. Like, give me a break. He was buying players for his AAU team.
Yeah.
That obviously is going to be really good because he's Penny Hardaway.
Bear made the point yesterday. You don't go from Innsworth to Memphis East.
For your education.
Yes.
Right. You go to Memphis to play for Penny Hardaway's AAU team because you're going to go to the NBA and education doesn't matter. Your education is basketball. And if you play for Penny Hardaway, you're going to know how to play basketball. You're going to be on an AAU team that gets looked at by whatever colleges you want to go to for your 1 year, and then you're going to go to the NBA. And sure, Penny Hardaway might not have known at the time that he was going to become the coach at Memphis, but that the NCAA's problem is he was already donating a lot of money to Memphis, which makes him a booster. Houston, you used an example. You've had season tickets to Tennessee. I don't know if that makes you a booster. I would assume if you have ever paid a donation to the university, though, you're a booster. And you can't be helping players come to that school. Like, it's pretty cut and dry. You can disagree with the NCAA rules if you want to. That's fine, and we do that all the time here. But you can't disagree that they're applying the rules incorrectly. I mean, first of all, he bought a player for his AAU team that ultimately played for him in high school. That's cheating as a high school coach.
Mm-hmm.
That is recruiting at a high school level. Like, I don't. There's some stuff. The TSSAA put out something about Wiseman, too, that I kind of missed. I wasn't sure exactly what that was about. But, like, I mean, you're paying a kid to come play for you. That's cheating. Should it not be cheating? That's a whole different argument.
That was what I was saying during the break. It's like, did he not think at some point he might become a college basketball coach and that, man, being an AAU friend to all these really good players would really help me recruit a few of them should the opportunity present itself? It just so happened to be at the school he's also a booster for.
Aaron Torres yesterday on the drive said that Penny was likely eyeing that Memphis job from the time Tubby Smith
bingo
got the job.
There you go. I mean, Penny and Memphis is quickly rising up my hate rankings. I mean, they're like a stock just taking off like a jet plane. This thing's a mess.
Well, so what'd you say, Davey? 9 games, potentially?
Yeah, for situations similar. I had it over here just a minute ago. But, yeah, it's usually like 33% of the season is what situations similar to this one are usually looking at as far as a suspension.
2 days ago, court rules in favor of TSSAA over James Wiseman high school eligibility case.
Here's what Jay Billis said on the matter. He will be able to play again. 11,500 from a booster would normally be, according to the matrix the NCAA uses, a third of the season or 9 games. Maybe it'll be shorter than that. Maybe it'll be the whole 9. I don't know where that's going to shake out. But, yeah, I mean, like, again, like, whenever you are dealing with the NCAA, you just kind of have to speculate because the only thing they're consistent at is being inconsistent.
The TSSAA case involves Wiseman and Boyce transferring to East High, where Hardaway was the head coach. The TSSAA declared the players ineligible to play for East during the 17-18 season based on the state's, quote, athletic coaching link rule The rule was adopted by TSSAA in 2015. That link stems from the pair playing for Team Penny on the AAU circuit in the summer of 2017. So basically, if I understand the rule correctly, if you coach an AAU team and then you become the head coach of a high school, you can't have a kid that played on your AAU team then move into that zone and then play for you.
Mm-hmm.
Like the only kids that, if they're on your AAU team and they end up playing for you in high school, they better have lived at the same address
yep.
when they did both. Because obviously it's a conflict of interest. If you're a high school and you're like, man, our team's not very good, but if we hire this guy from the next county over, all the kids that play on his AAU team will then, you know, switch apartments and move over here and play for us. It's to keep that from happening. So basically, Penny cheated in high school and now is getting busted for cheating, not as a college coach, at least yet, but for cheating as a fan of Memphis basketball, which the program, as unfair as this is sometimes, the program is supposed to keep an eye on that. And
correct.
Penny,
correct.
As someone who ultimately became the coach, should have already known the rules in that way if he had been planning on being a coach anyway. As you mentioned, this is worse than a rogue booster that, giving money to players.
That's my point. It's like this is worse, and somehow Memphis is trying to explain it in a way that makes it seem less worse or better. It's like, no, this is actually twice as bad because not only was he a rogue booster paying players to move to the city where the school he's a booster for is, he then became the coach.
Right.
I mean, come on. Again, pretty cut and dry. But my guess is the NCAA is going to be like, oh, but he's Penny Hardaway. You know, Memphis basketball, when they're good, make us a lot of money. So we don't want to it might seem unfair if we come down too harshly on Penny and Memphis. It's like, oh, okay. Well, then just clear Plavsic and we'll call it even. I don't even know if I'd call it even, frankly. We didn't cheat.
Yeah.
That I know of.
Well, I don't think we did. I don't know. Some people might
have. Somebody may have.
We didn't.
It's just ridiculous. Well, he didn't know. He was just helping a kid on his AAU team. It's like, okay. Well, he, again, as a booster for Memphis, he should know that. And Memphis, to your point, the compliance office should have said, hey, by the way, Wiseman can't come here because you paid him $11,500 to move. You were a booster at the time. Like, that's illegal. And the NCAA is like, hey, we caught you. You might want to sit this guy out. No, it's different. It's better. It's not as bad as you think. We're going to play him anyway. I mean, hell, just for doing that. I mean, we've seen the NCAA hammer people for kind of sticking it to them, right? Mm-hmm. And now it turns out they were wrong. They played him anyway with that bogus injunction.
Yep.
That a Memphis judge who was a Memphis grad gave them. Like, this is so backwards and crooked, and yet they're still just playing the victim here. Like, it doesn't make any sense. Oh, is anyone better at playing the victim when they are the instigator than Penny Hardaway? I mean, he is a wuss.
He's building a track record really quick. I mean, how long has he been there?
A year and a half.
Like,
last year was his first year.
They played, what, 2-3 games this year?
Yep.
It's like one season, couple of games, and he's already just like...
Are those vacated now, by the way, since Wiseman played? Like, are they 0-3?
No.
Why? Will they be? Could they be? I feel like they could be.
They could they be. Might be at the NCAA's end of the season. Not going to.
Why not? I mean, they might at the end of the season.
Yeah, they might retroactively do it.
But... I mean, we've never seen the NCAA come out and say, hey, kid's ineligible, and the school say, nah, we're going to roll him out anyway. Isn't that unprecedented?
Yeah.
I mean, I remember
like,
a headline like that.
I feel like
that.
It's happened, but it's been a long time.
I don't remember it being this public, I guess is what I should say.
That's fair. It's like, I mean, the rules apply to you. You may not like the rules, but they are the rules. Everyone has to follow them. Sorry. You broke rules.
It's kind of what Philip Fulmer said about Plavsic yesterday. It's like, we think the NCAA needs to re-kind of do all of this. It's more about everyone, not just about us. This whole waiver process is broken.
Most of the coaches are saying, basically, I mean, even Gino, after getting mad at Tennessee, basically said, like, I don't know why some people get cleared and some don't. Like, the NCAA's entire process on this situation is bogus.
It's crazy that everyone agrees on that and they can't fix it.
Well, I mean, it's football, it's basketball, it's everything. Like, Tate Martell transfers 3 times. He's cleared every time because he wasn't going to be the starter.
Mm-hmm.
even though he played some the year before. Meanwhile, Plavsic sits a year, transfers, can't play.
And we have to play a team this week that got a kid cleared from Kentucky.
From Kentucky, yeah. Yeah.
That's a mess. Well, big basketball game tomorrow, 5 o'clock. We'll obviously break it all down on Monday. We got a lot of football to get into, though, the rest of the show. SEC Survivor drawings coming up at 9:30. Yeah. We'll take you around all the big games in college football next. We'll talk some NFL as well later this hour. Stick with us right here. It's Hour 3, Football Friday edition of 3 and Out. It is that time of the week for us here on a Football Friday and Roundball Friday edition of the program.
I guess we've transitioned to only football now, so
okay.
You're good.
So I'm good. I'm safe. It's a huge day in college football, and as I think it was Matt said it, might have been Seth. I don't know. We appreciate all you that called in, weighed in on Twitter. It is nice to not have to worry about how we're going to fix football, to at least kind of have seen improvement the last few games. Be able to just take in this bye week, and really, there's a lot of other teams that are going to have to deal with stuff this weekend. In top 25 action, Alabama travels to Mississippi State. Talked about that one. Tua is a game-time decision again. He did go through individual work while the reporters were watching the Alabama practice on Wednesday. That was the last chance they get to watch it, just like the guys here at Tennessee. So he was moving around with a little bit of a limp, but did go through the drills and stuff. So you would think by Saturday that he's probably going to be good to go. It is a road game, Mississippi State. I do think Alabama can probably win the game running the football and kind of playing it conservatively. But this line has been crazy. It started at like 18. It went all the way up to like 21.5. It's back down to like 17.5 some places because of the Tua Tagovailoa news at quarterback. So anyway, that's kind of a fascinating matchup for Mississippi State too. It's a chance at 4-5, 2-4 in the SEC to, I mean, heck, I don't care if Tua doesn't play at all. If Mississippi State was able to pull that win off, it'd kind of change the trajectory of Joe Moorhead's season, which has been a pretty disappointing one there,
to say the least.
In Starkville, Indiana travels to Penn State. Going in order of kickoff too, so all these are noon games if you're kind of planning your viewing for tomorrow. Indiana at Penn State, and then in the SEC, Florida travels to Missouri, where Kelly Bryant is supposedly good to go now. The hamstring injury is healed after their bye week, and in some places, this line has gotten down all the way to Florida 6.5 again.
Interesting.
Opened at like 5.5, went up past the touchdown, back down, same thing. Quarterback news there, and somebody mentioned it. This is one of the very rare opportunities Florida has to go on the road and play a cold weather game, but lucky for them, it's not going to be that cold. Bright sunshine, high in the 40s.
It's still pretty cold for your Florida.
Missouri, yeah, like 48 and sunny, though. Not too bad. That will be at an 11 o'clock kickoff locally. That's a CBS national game, as CBS is going doubleheader. It's kind of their second late season doubleheader where it's, you know, not as good. So Florida at Missouri in that one. I'm with you. I think Florida might not look like $1 million, but surely they beat Missouri by more than a touchdown, right? Or by at least a touchdown?
I would think so.
Is this the game they got blasted in last year, though, at home?
Missouri killed them last year.
Maybe that's part of it. I don't. Does Barry Odom just know how to stop Dan Mullen? Or was that a fluke? That'll be the big question everybody's kind of wondering going into this one. I mean, Florida still could have a lot to play for in these SEC games because Georgia, if Georgia loses this weekend against Auburn, that's the other CBS game, 3:30. Georgia could lose to A&M and Florida's in Atlanta.
That's true. Yeah, Georgia not exactly in the clear. I keep forgetting that it's A&M is their last SEC game. For some reason in my head, it's like Kentucky or Vanderbilt, but no, it's A&M after Auburn. It's a big game. And not to mention, they go on the road to Jordan-Hare this weekend.
Yeah.
Going to be a pretty crazy environment, I would imagine. Of course, the last time they played there, Georgia did not play well. Auburn got the win. They rematch in the SEC championship game, and Georgia got the win. But it's a tough place to play. They lose that one. Then all of a sudden, they've got some nerves popping up for that A&M game. And A&M, I feel like they're not great, but they're dangerous enough to certainly beat Georgia if Georgia doesn't bring it. In that one.
Other noon kickoffs, Wisconsin travels to Nebraska. Michigan State travels to Michigan, which is a big one in the Big Ten.
It's kind of big, but Michigan State stinks.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's kind of regional, whatever. Kansas at Oklahoma State. And then at, these are all top 25 noon games. Then at 2:30, Navy Notre Dame. At 3:30, Ohio State at Rutgers, where they're 53-point favorites.
And I think the over-under is 55.
They got 61, but yeah.
Oh, okay. 61.
It's been moving around a lot on that one, too, just because the numbers are so big. Wake Forest travels to Clemson, which looked like it was going to be a big game, but now not so much. 3:30, as
I
mentioned.
My Deacons blew it.
Georgia at Auburn, one of the few top 25 versus top 25. That's the 4th and 12th ranked teams in the country. Georgia's been a slight favorite on this one all week.
I think that makes sense. I also think that this game, you could pretty much throw the line out and anything's possible.
I kind of feel like as we watch Georgia-Florida, it feels like if Georgia comes out and plays with a lot of edge, like they're going to be tough to beat. They can elevate themselves close to that Alabama-LSU level. But they can also, I mean, we've seen them play really kind of conservative, timid football.
Yeah.
And that could get them beat this week for sure. Memphis travels to Houston. Your playoff team, Memphis.
I mean, I picked Memphis as my playoff team in football, and Wiseman is ineligible. So
Texas travels.
My plan is working perfectly, even in other sports.
Texas travels to Iowa State. You guys see the new renderings of the Texas uterus?
Boy, have I.
Yeah.
Someone did not think that through.
No.
Texas. We're going to have them run through a big longhorn. But due to design flaws and the orientation of the stadium, it's going to look more like a uterus. You're fired.
Yeah, that was not good. Texas put out those renderings yesterday.
I don't know. I mean, it's kind of like a playbook out of the UT sorority row. It's the UTs getting together.
Gross.
West Virginia travels to Kansas State. 3:30 on ESPN. 4 o'clock, another top 25. This is a big one. Minnesota, undefeated, still trying to move up those playoff committee rankings. They're 8th this week. They travel to Iowa, where Iowa's the favorite. 4 o'clock on Fox.
What's Iowa favored by?
It's been right
3 points,
2.5
right
or 3, yeah, all week. 3 points.
You got a pick in that one?
I don't like that.
Give
one.
Give me the Golden Gophers.
We're picking it today.
Yeah.
I know, I was trying to get a little head start. What? Maybe PJ Fleck just really good.
I think he is really good.
He's a weirdo, but he might be like Butch Jones that can coach.
It's hard to win a big game at home and then go on the road against another pain in the ass team and play really well against.
That's true.
Tanner Morgan was 18 of 20 passing against Penn State.
I think if Minnesota does win this game, they'll have to kind of grind it out a little bit. I don't think it'll be as easy going up and down the field as it was at home against Penn State. They just seem to be clicking on all cylinders last week. And we know how college football can be. Speaking of clicking on all cylinders, LSU travels to Ole Miss, and they're 21.5-point favorites in that one. Could be a lot of points in that matchup. Think LSU will have a hangover?
No.
No?
Maybe for like 5 minutes, and then they're just going to be too good because they are too good.
Cincinnati at South Florida. Oklahoma at Baylor is the big 7:30 ABC game.
Yeah, we'll figure out if Baylor's for real.
They're the home team.
10-point underdog.
Seems like a pretty big line. At home, undefeated.
Especially with Oklahoma not playing well here
especially
recently.
Especially on defense, right? I mean, Oklahoma's defense.
Nine and just went, whew.
All of Baylor's games are close. It seems
that's only 1 point.
That's 10.5.
Okay, 1.5. I don't know if I would do a whoosh.
Well, it moved immediately, I guess. Like it was open at 9 and was at 10.5 like within hours.
I would say that's more of like a
okay.
It doesn't really matter if Baylor's the better team or the worst team so far this year. It just comes down to like a single possession game.
Matt Rhule might also be the real deal.
We do this with coaches every year, though. We'll see. Can they finish the season? You know,
I agree, but like 8-0, you know, Yeah. Well, a lot of teams can start 5-0, 6-0, but usually by the time you get to 8, you've played some really good teams in your – I'm saying, talking Power 5 teams, of course. You've played some pretty good teams on your schedule. That said, I feel like Baylor's kind of backloaded, are they not?
Baylor's 9-0.
9-0, excuse me. Who are their next three?
Oklahoma and Texas.
That's two.
I'm not sure on the last.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oklahoma State, did they already play Oklahoma State?
Kansas.
Oh, that's a win. Mm. Wow, they're going to get to 10 for sure. How about that? Matt Rhule.
Don't count out Les Miles just yet.
You know, we got to look out because Arkansas, they got a new hot board candidate.
Ooh, they do.
Lyle Allen Jones on the board for Arkansas. Also, Mike Bobo.
Really?
On the extended hot board.
Oh, Barrett Salee will be so happy.
Butch is one in the SEC.
That's what I can't remember who it was saying that. It's like of all the guys on the board, like this is one guy who's at least one in the SEC, and by that they mean has played a game as an SEC coach and has a win.
Yeah, but the problem, the retort to that, is he's 0-for against West teams. So
with East talent, though.
Come on, Arkansas's Nate. About to have some real East
Arkansas
talent.
Arkansas has six players in the recruiting.
We're trying to.
Nobody can save that this year.
Butch could.
No.
Just around.
I don't think so.
Yeah, they've had to face a lot of resiliency, and so this is the perfect fit, even though this is just Jimmy Sexton just floating his name out there for the hell of it.
He likes to build it brick by brick. There's no bricks in that program.
Oh, okay, this would be a perfect analogy. He could use the Three Little Pigs reference. You know, like the first coach tried to build this up, Brett Bielema. He was just using some straw.
Not mud.
It didn't work. And then you got some sticks, and it just didn't work.
That
but you
Chad
know
Morris.
What?
Chad Morris's sticks?
He's straw.
Now you got the guy.
Yeah, he's straw. You went sticks to straw, because I think Bielema was better than Morris.
I was saying Bielema was mud, and it just like flooded out. I don't know.
I think it was mud and straw.
Right.
But none of that matters now.
It was mud and straw, then sticks, then bricks. Huh.
Because you're going to lay a strong foundation.
These bricks.
Cool.
That would be.
They went and looked at some actual pigs to get the red right.
App State travels to Georgia State, UCLA at Utah and New Mexico to Boise State, and then the last game in the top 25, Arizona at Oregon, as the Pac-12 doesn't really have any big games this week. Those are coming up next week, I think. So there you go. SEC Survivor draw time. If Butch Jones goes to Arkansas.
And we go to Arkansas next year.
That would be something.
I start?
It's that time of the week, SEC Survivor draw time, here on 3 and Out.
Yay!
Billy has checked and made sure all helmets are present and accounted for, randomized them. I have then annoyed Houston already with one shake of the box, and we'll probably continue to do so.
One shake of the box?
Well, you know, one
what
session
are you, don't,
of shaking.
Don't, yeah, thank you. 30-second shake sesh.
Cool. Billy Williford's up first today. In the SEC, there are no non-conference matchups. We mentioned Tennessee having the bye. Most teams playing conference games this week because next week they're going to have – well, in 2 weeks, they're – yeah, no, next week they'll have a lighter game before they play, like, typically their in-state rival. Of course, Tennessee does that also, but it's Vanderbilt, so they reshuffle their schedule a little bit, get the bye week this week. But here's the rundown. It's Alabama at Mississippi State, Florida at Missouri. Georgia travels to the plains of Auburn, Kentucky at Vanderbilt, LSU at Ole Miss, and South Carolina travels to Texas to take on the Aggies of Texas A&M, where they haven't won. South Carolina hasn't won the state of Texas since 1957.
That's a long time ago.
According to Peter Burns. I just saw that on Twitter.
57?
1957. I don't know how many times they've played in the state of Texas.
Like 0-3.
I only feel good about three teams on this list.
We'll go ahead and throw them out there so that when you draw one and they lose, we can make fun of you.
Alabama, Florida, and LSU.
All right.
You know, I said I felt good about three teams last week.
And those were the three that we got. Yeah. And then old Dave got auto death.
Automatic death.
Kind of perfect, really. All right, fire up the music there, Hudson. Williford first, then Hodges, myself, Hudson. I think you randomize them too much, to the point where they're not even random anymore. They realign with themselves.
Who you got, Billy?
Mississippi State.
Yikes. There's only one team
Williford
more
on the block.
Unfavored than Mississippi State this weekend. That's Ole Miss.
Yeah, hate to see it.
But maybe the basketballs will take care of business, give you a smiling face.
Maybe
at least
Tua
for the...
won't play. Maybe Bob Stoops will shock the world.
The last time I took on Alabama and Tua didn't play, I lost.
We had Arkansas, so I mean, that's
yeah,
not really saying
much. Yeah. But it's a fair point. It's a fair point. Nate, will you slide me that box so you can draw, please? I don't know why you kicked it so far away. Let me shake it up for
you.
I
thought you might narrate and Billy would hold the box.
No, I got you.
But
Hodges, hand, box. Just going right at it. Oh.
Safe.
Number three.
Maybe, maybe not. He still has to either pick one or...
We pick, right?
No. Whites are always good.
Whites are good. That's
either,
true.
Either I pick or I'm automatically
white is
safe.
White is safe. Silver's bad. Where is that thing?
Houston's pulling up his files.
Where is that?
What number?
I know where it is. It's number three.
I think he picks.
I get to pick.
Didn't you draw that once before?
Yeah.
I thought number one was automatically saved. Could be wrong.
No, number three is... Oh.
I don't think
we've
had
never
three.
Had this. It's a redraw.
Yeah.
So you now draw a helmet.
Which one's the... There's not an automatic safe.
No, no. Number one is your
pick. Okay.
So you would pick, which is basically an automatic safe. But this is a redraw. So you draw a helmet.
But I still have a
mulligan. And you still have a redraw.
Okay.
And apparently you can... It says, I said to save or use. So I guess you have, if you draw a good team here,
yeah,
you
can
save it for next week.
Yeah.
How about that? First time we get a carryover.
Because you said you can't save a... Save by passer.
Correct. That is a 1 week only. Hodges hand box. Oh my gosh.
That is we pick.
Like I said, if you shake them.
It is not.
No,
the whites are good.
He picks.
I get to
and
pick.
He has a redraw for next week.
How I don't like this. No, I'm trying to change the game up.
Sorry.
Okay. Well, pick your winner, I guess. You just go Bama and take Billy to the woodshed. But Tua might not play. Could be scary. Wow. Hodges. Told you. Shook the box too much. Jerk.
I don't like all these helmets being taken out of the
yeah,
box.
Now there's no good
yeah,
helmets that aren't, you know,
guys.
Just a winning team.
Man, give me LSU.
The LSU Tigers.
Yeah. They might lose. I mean, they might, but I would, I mean, that's, they're, it's just the best odds. I know they're coming off a big win, but I mean, surely they at least win the football game, right?
I'm surprised you wouldn't take Alabama, but yeah, I'd say you're, yeah, good pick. My turn. Take your time. It's not like this is a time show or anything. We just go until we don't want to anymore. Tennessee! I knew we'd do that this week.
Yeah,
I knew it would happen.
You did it.
Ole Miss.
Great.
Well,
Ole Miss.
You might,
fantastic.
I mean, you could...
Great.
Really screw me over if you win that
Watermelon
one.
Head.
This That's... side of the table is getting punished on Wednesday. Well, you could save yourself.
Yeah,
or I
true.
Could save mine.
Yeah. I'd rather take Tennessee. I'll take Tennessee.
They might win this week.
I think they're definitely not going to lose.
That's true.
Hand me the box.
All right.
Hand
the one
box.
We've all been waiting for. Can
it's
Davey
a good
Hudson.
Thing there aren't ties in college. We'd have, if
That'd
we did
weird.
This in the NFL, like, we'd have to
Can
have
Hudson
rules.
Extend the streak?
He's the
hand.
He's the Cal
box.
Ripken of.
And South Carolina at Texas A&M.
You hate to see it.
Yeah, you do hate to see it. Haven't won in Texas since 1957.
Okay.
Well, what
he pulled
season
back.
Record is 2-9? 3-8?
2-9.
2-9.
He's staring 2-10 in the face.
He is staring 2-10.
I would get
so
fired
probably.
If I was a coach.
Yeah, you are you are Chad Morris right now.
There's
right,
probably
for sure.
Three losses this week, right?
Yeah, unless we you
how
know
how do we do that?
Unless we can save ourselves.
Falcons. I'm already looking forward to where I'm drawing. I want the gluttony challenge.
Okay.
Bear said he'd hook us up with the wings.
Oh yeah, nice. Okay. Nice. Yeah. All right. Save picks. Billy, you're up first.
What
biggest
we,
blowout?
What, biggest blowout?
Yeah. We'll go blowout first. Oh, man. It actually is kind of a tough week.
It is.
Because, you know, Alabama.
You want to pick Alabama, but if Tua doesn't play.
But Ole Miss can kind of score a little bit. They have no defense, but can right. LSU, you know, this is tricky.
I got to go LSU.
It's a fair pick. I think it's fair.
I'm going to go Alabama. I have LSU, so I'm not going to pick that.
Right, makes
well.
Sense. I'm actually going to take Texas A&M over South Carolina.
All right.
give me LSU.
All right.
Two LSUs, Alabama, A&M.
Leading passer?
Joe Burrow. It's hard to go against him.
It's hard to go against him. Not hard to.
Is it possible? Yeah.
Especially if Tua's not playing. I mean.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's just really tough to know.
Nate.
I'm going to go. I mean, surely Joe Burrow doesn't lead the passing and then lose the football game. So I got to pick somebody different. Just give me Kyle Trask. Won't be able to run the ball against Missouri. And
interesting
just throw
pick.
A ton.
Interesting pick.
And it stays fairly close. So they have to keep throwing.
I, too, will take Joe Burrow.
I will also take Joe Burrow.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Billy, leading rusher?
Lynn Bowden.
Najee Harris for me.
Billy, were you watching my computer screen earlier and just say, hey, this is all the picks that Davey has.
Why would I
want
to?
Yeah, that'd be the
you.
Worst.
Buddy,
the
you're having
worst
a bad day
move.
If you're
because yeah. I'm the only one who's ever actually saved themselves in this game.
One time a year ago.
And
we're typically safe,
one.
So it doesn't really matter. You know.
Yeah, a lot of times we're doing what Nate's doing. It's like, well, I don't need to pick LSU because if they win,
right,
who cares?
Right.
I got to hedge.
I've had two of three.
Najee
right
Harris
this
you
year.
Took?
Yeah, Najee
it's
Harris.
Not a bad pick.
Especially if they're trying to play conservative a little bit. For Mississippi State, I mean, pop shoot. I mean, you can't stop the run, typically.
I'm going to take Lynn Bowden also.
I, too, will also take Lynn Bowden Jr.
I think Derrick Mason's going to sell out.
Did we go?
Either we're going to lose together or we're going to win together.
There you go.
Right. Well,
you Mississippi
Houston
boys.
Took Texas A&M.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Sorry.
Yeah, so you won't, probably won't. I mean, probably
but
only one of you.
Billy and
you're
I
right.
could both yeah. save ourselves.
We lost together.
Did you guys tie? You
I,
guys
I
had the same
I need,
picks?
I need a ruling just to clear this up before this happens. What if two teams win by the same margin? Do both of those count?
Yeah, because okay. they were the biggest blowout. They just shared it.
Fair enough.
Same with rushing. Like, if two guys had exactly 226 yards, you had the leading rusher. He tied for first, so he's the leading rusher.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Just want to make sure we get that out of the way before arguments ensue.
Nah, we're a reserved
committee of respectable gentlemen.
Yeah, like we're
or something like that.
We're respectful to each other.
Gambling picks
for the most part.
Next.
And Vol Hoops, got to pick that one.
Yeah.
I know Tennessee doesn't play this week, but we got to pick.
It just takes the place of Tennessee's bye.
Yeah, exactly.
Sounds good. We'll do all that next. Final segment of the program, Gambling Picks, brought to you by MyBookie, the official sports book of Fan Run Radio. Get your bets in. You've been listening to us talk about MyBookie all year. It's getting late. It's a great time to join up, though. You've got basketball games you can bet on. You got football games as well. And there's always some fun bets, too, if you kind of look around current events, political stuff. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff you can put a little money on. You can parlay stuff up. And you know,
as Weston showed us,
Weston bet 120 on Seahawks, Vols, and LSU Tigers last week.
Money line,
in a parlay, money line, all three, cleared $2,000.
I did want to say that yesterday we were talking about it, and the national championship odds for basketball, Tennessee is actually +8,000. They are not fifth or tied for fourth at plus 1,000.
That would line up with what the other books had. So did they get back to you, or did they just change it?
They just changed it. I did not hear from them.
I think Louisville is the best bet on the board there. The other favorites are too small. I don't know. I feel like they get there, but who knows? I'm not going to. I don't like betting that far into the future because then just money's just stuck forever. I'd rather just go first half line, minus one. Let's go.
I need to know today if I'm going to win my bet or not. I'm with that.
All righty. First game up on the schedule. The 11th-ranked Florida Gators are heading to Columbia, Missouri to face the Tigers.
Billy, up first.
Missouri, Florida's favored by 7.5 is where we're locked in at.
Yeah, it opened at 5, went to 7. That's kind of the way I see this game. I don't even know how it's staying at 7.5. I think Florida is clearly the better team. Missouri does not look good. I know it's at home. I'm still going to take the Gators to win by over 7.5.
Yeah, I don't like the 7.5. It was at 7. I bought a half point. I got it locked in on my bookie at 6.5. And I might even put more money on it if it gets back there, stays at 7 before the game. I think this is my lock of the week. At least Florida by 7. I don't like the 7.5, but I still think it's more likely that they win by 10 or more than to eke one out or lose at Missouri.
I think Missouri might be awful. I'll take Florida.
It will be a sweep for the Gators. We all have Florida locked in.
You probably should bet Missouri money line then.
Yep.
Hold on. Didn't you run our record when we all picked the same?
It was actually pretty good, right?
It's 6-2-1, I believe. Yeah. Or 6-3-1.
Lock of the week, Missouri. Especially if you can get it for less than 7.
You mean Florida?
Florida. Lock of the week. Rewind the tape. Florida. Lock of the week. Minus 6.5 or better.
Next game, probably the most anticipated game this week for a lot of folks. The 4th-ranked Georgia Bulldogs are heading to Jordan-Hare to face the 12th-ranked Auburn Tigers. Georgia is a 3-point favorite.
I've liked Georgia the whole time. I don't feel as good about this one, but I just think Georgia's a better team. And if they play with any type of intensity like they did last week, I think they'll be able to get the win. I mean, the line's small. I'm not going to split hairs there. I think Georgia will win. It'll probably be tough, but they'll get it done.
I actually think Auburn's defense is really, really good. Tough environment in Jordan-Hare, and I don't think that the freshman quarterback is going to be quite as baffled as he has been on some road games for Auburn. I will take Auburn. They may lose a close one, but I think they'll cover this line.
Georgia's owned this series as of late. And I think that'll continue. I'm going to take the Bulldogs.
It's crazy. Gus Malzahn is 8-0 coming off of a bye week. And the teams, once he played them, they do have a winning record. So it's not like he's just playing cupcakes. However, I just don't trust Bo Nix in a defensive battle. Both defenses are really good. Georgia has one of the best defenses in the nation. I think that continues. And they probably win by a touchdown.
Next game, 8th-ranked Minnesota Gophers are going on the road to face the 20th-ranked Iowa Hawkeyes. Iowa is actually favored in this one by 2.5 points.
This is so weird to me. Like, I guess they're just calling the letdown for Minnesota, which I guess makes some sense, but I also think I'm just going to believe in P.J. Fleck and the Gophers until they prove me wrong. I mean, that's a good Penn State team. I get that it's on the road, but I'll take Minnesota. Row the boat.
I watched majority of that Penn State Minnesota game last week. Minnesota, people have been sleeping on them. I mean, this might be a game they get caught up, but even if they lose, I expect it to be by like 1 or 2 points. Not to the point to where I would feel comfortable taking Iowa in this one, giving me the Golden Gophers.
I would have been undefeated last week if I would have picked Iowa to cover the spread against Wisconsin. Faded Davey. I don't know. Who did you take this week?
Minnesota.
Yeah, I'm not going to fade Davey again. I had Minnesota beating Penn State straight up last week. They did. I like Minnesota to win this game by a touchdown.
I think sometimes Vegas just knows, and I'm going to go with Iowa. They gave Wisconsin fits last week. That one was weird. Wisconsin only won by 2. I know Iowa's the favorite here, but they're just a pain to play at their place. And Minnesota, they seem to kind of ride the wave at home. And so give me Iowa.
Okay, got you. Locked in. And our last game of the week, 10th-ranked Oklahoma Sooners are going on the road to face the undefeated 13th-ranked Baylor Bears.
Your Bears.
Oklahoma's favored by 10. Like, I think Oklahoma's the better team, and they might win, but Baylor just seems to keep everything close. If you're one talking about, like, a team of destiny, Baylor's just had everything go their way. I think they're able to keep it to a single-possession game. I'm going to take Baylor.
Oklahoma started out the year really good. Obviously, Baylor's undefeated. The 42-41 win last week at Iowa State was closer than the game was in the fourth quarter. Iowa State scored, like, 20-something points. I think Oklahoma's better. They'll cover the spread.
Yeah, I don't trust Oklahoma's defense still, but Baylor's offense isn't really their calling card, and I think Oklahoma is still kind of playing with something to prove, and I think the house of cards kind of falls for Baylor this weekend. Give me the Sooners big.
I really want to think Baylor has a shot. I'm with you guys. I don't think I trust their offense to keep pace with Oklahoma. I will take the Sooners. Not really confident in that pick. I just know that the Sooners can score on anybody.
Just so I didn't misunderstand, when all three of you took Oklahoma, correct?
Correct.
Okay. And then finally, we're done with football, but for basketball, guess get everyone's picks.
We don't have a line on this game.
Tennessee versus Washington.
I think Washington will be favored when the line comes out tomorrow morning on my bookie. Right now, KenPom thinks Tennessee will win by 3 and has them as a 60-40 winner.
Oh, I thought you were saying that's the score. I was like, 60-40. That's really...
No, percent.
Gotcha.
69-66, the projected score.
I do think this could be the lowest scoring game of the season for Tennessee. I'm worried that it is a road game, essentially, for the Vols. I think they're going to lose in a close one, 68-63.
I was thinking the same thing. I don't know. I'll go a little higher scoring, but I still think the same range. I'll go, like, Washington 72, Tennessee 65.
See, I'm going to go 71-63, Big Orange.
65-64, Washington.
Oh, come on.
You guys are haters and losers.
Yeah, usually when
no
we pick
faith
against
in
them,
Barnes.
They come out
and
prove
essentially
wrong.
A road game. We're closer than they are, I think. I don't know where.
That's good.
I don't know where Scotiabank is.
Come back on Monday as we'll be back at it. 7 o'clock. The Blitz is next on Fan Run Radio.